And hey, we're already sound checked.
Hey, it's that's a weird.
Is this anything miracle?
It's all right. I am coming to you live from Dubai, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, do how do you do? And I'm excited.
Rob, tell us all about it. We're excited about this.
I think it was going to.
No, it Rob, was just tell in the middle it. Of. Sounded like he was trailing off. Like,
he,
yep.
And no, Pete. I don't think there was a pause in between a word there.
That's not how I remember it.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Hold on. No, Rob, tell us about Dubai. Dubai, tell us about Rob.
I knew there was some shit going on.
Great instincts, Jared.
I could tell there was some business.
But then, if your instincts were that, wouldn't you have been like, "Hey, Rob, why don't you go take care of that thing in the back of the room and then tell us?"
Well, because I don't know why he was slowing down. The only thing I could tell was that he was dipping out of talking, and I was like, "No, this is. I don't want this. I want to hear the story. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear about Dubai."
I wonder if this is a bit, and we're going to see him like get kidnapped or something.
Or decapitated.
Yeah. Does that happen in Dubai? I don't think so.
Happen in bits?
It is. I believe it is.
What did you say, lady?
Oh, no, that's Saudi Arabia. Sorry. Oh, wait, is Dubai in Saudi Arabia? The king of Saudi Arabia is the guy that had Jamal Khashoggi chopped up, right?
That's what I
was referencing.
I think that's Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. My Middle East geography is pretty poor. Mm. Also, my geography everywhere in the world:
Europe, Asia, America.
Yeah,
all of it.
All of it's pretty bad.
Oh yeah, my Middle East, Africa, Europe, Asia, Greenland geography is not great.
Yeah, all that whole country.
But I know everything there is to know about the geography of America Samoa. I'm all over it.
I do know the U.S. pretty well now over the last few years just from traveling so much around the country. Mm-hmm. How long do we get before we get concerned?
Oh, no. Nothing to be concerned about.
No, I think Jared's behind it, actually.
Yeah, that sounded very sinister. Nothing to
I
be
don't think
concerned
we need,
about.
I don't think we need to worry about young Robert. Oh, God.
He's back.
I knew it was a bit. I fucking knew it.
Amazing.
Sorry, I was just so uncomfortable in those god-awful Westerner clothes. All right, infidels, what are you guys doing?
Huh? Is there a title that we should address you with? Rob?
You know, Sheikh sounds like way, that sounds really, you know, proper and formal. So, you know, you can just call me Rob. It's good.
Okay, cool.
Tell us all about it, Rob. Tell us the story. Tell
Sheikh
us
Rob is
what's
fine.
Going on.
Oh, Sheikh Rob is what you want to be
now. Muhammad? 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 I don't know. I should have just stayed quiet.
No, Murabit is perfect. First of all, I got this sick Kandura from when I went.
Are you saying sick in the way that like skateboarders say it, or in the way that it's
the way that people from the Middle East naturally say it?
Okay, like skateboarders, sandboarders. Sick.
Yeah. So I went. Best part of my trip. We went to the outskirts of the city to do like 4x4ing over sand dunes. Then we got to go on quads too, and just ride around like in a little area. I've got a bunch of photos and videos and stuff of that, but I didn't post them yet because I wanted to do my fun reveal here on the pod.
Ooh!
Unfortunately, Leedy was this morning scrolling Instagram and saw Gabriel Rutledge's Instagram, and she went, "Is that Rob?" And because of the beard and stuff, it was like, I wouldn't, if she hadn't said that, I wouldn't have even noticed it was you.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I was like a hawk.
It's not your fault. It's Gabriel's more than anything else. But I didn't want to hound him about it. I just told him we were going to record yesterday, actually, which kind of messed me up because like I told Gabriel, I was like, I am going to record the podcast and then I'm going to, you know, I want to put the stuff on. Because they were laughing at me because like as soon as I was such a fucking tourist, like we drive to the thing and this was like the Dubai is complete vapid nonsense. I mean, this place is a nightmare. It's, it like, is the Las like, Vegas of the world with less culture and less roots than Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. That is a crazy statement to make. It is less that is, culture and less roots than the place that has no culture and no roots.
Exactly.
There is less substance here than an insect's husk after it's been discarded for its new... exoskeleton.
I actually got into an argument with a woman who was like a friend of the person who produces these shows, which was a little odd of me. But basically, she took us to, she's like, we should go to this Cuban night. There's going to be Cuban jazz at this Cuban restaurant. And it was just like, I can't explain it. Like, it was a Cuban jazz, but they were playing covers of like the Beatles. And I looked at the other comment, we were looking around at each other. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, this is like all the appropriation. Just like all of the things. Like, I don't even know what this is anymore.
I just love that there's it's like experiencing culture with no starting point is just a bizarre experience. You're like, yeah, it's so interesting that everything that you kind of enjoy, like in America, you're like, oh, it's all cultural appropriation, but at least it's coming from a starting point. So it doesn't feel that weird. Like you can trace it back to where it's coming from, where it was adopted or stolen from.
And it seems more earned because, you know, the working class often, you know, generates a lot of culture. Well, we don't have a lot, so what do? Well, say some guy works his ass off to make ends meet by creating the best taco. So his shop is the cool shop, and this club is the cool club, and this dive bar is the whatever, and then they become more famous, not because money was poured into it from Canon or from Viacom or from wherever, but because, which is like what everything is here. Instead of going to Enrique's like tortilla shop, you are going to Marriott brought to you by Google's tortilla shop. Like, just like, I don't understand what this place is. It's fucking weird.
And so when I was your outfit right now is Nike, right?
Just Dubai it. They say over here. So the woman was like, hey, like, so what, you know, do you like Dubai? And I was like, it's fine, you know. And I was so not in the mood. I was exhausted. I wanted to leave. The music was too annoying and everything. I'm just like, God, man, these people here. And all the guys, they just walk in. Like, every guy is the same. They're like someone in their 40s and 50s who are like way too old to still be living this lifestyle, you know, with like arm candy, just kind of like, oh, it's just walking into places like they own the place. I'm like, you guys are all the same human. It's just so bizarre. What's really weird too is that like you meet people and everybody has the same story and they're all so proud of it. But I don't really understand what the message behind the story means. I'll be like, oh, where are you from? Oh, the UK, Ireland, wherever, Belgium, something. And then, but it's always like, oh, where are you from? Oh, we're from here, you know? We were only supposed to be here for 2 years and it's been 15. And I'm like, what does that mean? Everybody says the same thing. It's some like vocal fry woman in her upper 40s being like, we were just supposed to be here for 6 months and now it's been 20. And I'm like, is that did you get trapped? What happened?
It's all come from some kind of passport diplomatic issue. But they're just owning it.
You know what? Good for that.
We're political prisoners.
I was thinking the other way, where they're like, we've been searching our entire lives for a place as devoid of substance and vapid as Dubai, a place where the only thing that matters is how much money you have. I mean, we were in Vegas for a little while and that was great, but this is just nothing compared to this. There's no substance here. It's amazing.
It is some mix of those two things where it's really hard for me to get a baseline on it because it seems like exactly that. Everyone seems to be running away from something. Or they got here, they kind of enjoyed the nightlife, enjoyed whatever it is that this place has to offer, and then maybe just got caught up in a cycle of like, I work here, I live here, but I party here too, and I fucking spend my money. Like, I spend my money because I'm trying to keep up with this lifestyle, but then I work and then I spend it. So this whole plan I had of like moving to Dubai to live tax-free and maybe save some money and do that for 2 years has turned into 12. And I'm just like, I got nothing to show for it. That's a pretty cynical view of it, but I really think it's true. I really think it's accurate. So
I mean, just based on the description of the people that you're talking about, that totally tracks for me.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I got into this debate argument because she was just trying to convince me how good it was. She's like, it's great, right? I was like, yeah, it's not my thing. She's like, well, the great thing is that you can live any way you want here in Dubai. You can just choose. And I said, you know what? I've been to half a dozen places now. They all seem the same to me. So I actually don't believe that. She's like, what? No, if you want something that's more grounded and like you can do that. You can go there. And I was like, but you're not there. And I'm not there, and you're trying to show me around. So, like, you know, I don't understand. Like, she's like, okay, well, I just like live music, and this has live music. And I was like, don't you get what I'm saying? You're spending your time in places like this. I'm being invited and carted around to places like this. I am desperately trying to find anything else that's not this, and it either doesn't exist or no one wants to show me it. Plus, like, it all tracks too. I mean, they import their labor. Once these people are done working, they export them out of the country. You know, their workers come from India and Pakistan and other poor Middle Eastern countries.
Pakistan.
And then once they're done working, they leave. So I'm like, you don't have a working class here. You have an indentured servitude for some period of time until you send them packing. I was like, so I just
Aachen.
Amazing.
Excellent. Anyway, those are some of my thoughts. I didn't even get to the sand thing. So I go to the thing, I'm a tourist. I get in the spot, and the guys are great. This was the whole reason I mentioned this is because this was the first time I felt like, this is how traveling, you know, is for me, where people are like rushing me, trying to get me to spend money, you know? So as soon as we parked, they're like, oh, we're just going to stop here for a sec. But it was like a shop, and they're like, they just put the wrap on you, like, here you go. And they're putting shit on me. And then the other guys are like, no, we're good. Thank you so much. And I'm like, take my money. And the comics are looking at me like, what the fuck, man? You're such a fool. And I was like, to be perfectly honest with you, I was fully planning on buying all of this anyway so I could do my podcast in it. I was like, so this actually worked out great that these guys are selling this to me now.
Now, this is an outfit, Rob, where if somebody stops you to pray for you, I get it.
I wonder about the politics of you wearing that. Like, in Dubai, do all the white people wear that? Or is it like, if a white person's wearing that, is it like, look at this fucking poser, like somebody wearing a Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt at the Hard Rock Cafe or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, I don't know how to gauge it. You know, what's it like there?
Nobody who looks like me wears this. That's so far a fact.
Amazing.
Have you worn it out quite a bit? Like, has anybody approached you thinking maybe that you know a little bit more about the culture that you're embracing than you do?
No, because the only time that I actually did wear this out in public was just on my way home from the sand dune adventure thing. Mm-hmm. And then walking back into the hotel, and I was exhausted, and I just took it off, and I haven't worn it since. So I don't really know if I would like get like looked at by people. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm not all that curious too. Like, I don't really, cause again, like, I don't care to impress these people. I don't care to prank these people. Like, nothing about them interests me that much. So it's not like whatever. And if I did see some, but basically so far, I don't think I've seen a white guy wearing this. No. Mm-hmm.
I think it would be so funny if, one of the only places I've traveled to other countries is Israel. But if just like you were a tourist and then they just came at you with like a tallit and then a yarmulke and they were like, you just walk around, people are like, oh, it's a rabbi.
Well, that's just it. Cause I walked around a mall and I looked for this stuff. I was trying to find, and I couldn't find it. So it was really weird. I was like, I know you guys wear these, so why don't you sell them? And it made me think, well, maybe this is just not the mall for them type of thing. So mm-hmm. I thought, maybe I'm not going to find this stuff easily. So when I went to this spot and they immediately are like wrapping my head and like, you want to buy? I said, yes, I definitely do. This is what I wanted.
I want to know if I obviously, whatever else you got to tell us about this trip, I want to hear it. But I want to know specifically about the schedule? Like, have you had shows every night? Have you been just like dicking around the area while you're off? How many more shows do you have? Are you coming home soon? What's the deal?
Yeah, so very strange schedule, but certainly like it pleased me where we flew in and then I had that first night to myself to kind of, you know, reorient. I did have a show the next night, and that show happened. Then I had a show after that. I'll get into the details of that a little bit later. And then we had 3 days off. So show on Friday, show on Saturday, and then we had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going to have another show Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Then on Saturday, I fly back. So it's kind of a weird double weekend thing where so it was just kind of cool to have 3 full days off to sort of, you know, I got a sense of what the shows were like. Now I can regroup, have my 3 days to feel like I saw Dubai, and then I can get back into show mode again.
And how have the crowds been? Like, are you doing your one man show stuff, like that set?
Yeah. So what was so interesting about that is that I'm doing 20 minutes here, like a loose 20 minutes. I've been doing 15 minutes on the road with Steve, which I got to, you know, work on and hone a little bit the early material, or like the beginning material for my solo show, which wound up working out really well to the point where I was able to sell a lot of merchandise, as you know, for these non-alcoholic shot glasses. So I brought them here too, thinking I'll do the same material. I'll see if I can sell the shot glasses. Like, you know, I'm just going to make this a part of my routine now. Oh my God, right behind you. Nice. Got him.
Yeah, he's dead now.
So I show up for the first show and I'm nervous because I am this is the first show in a new country. Yes, these people are mostly expats, but some of them are Indian, some of them are like English is their second language, so I do have to be a little bit careful. I got a lot of notes right away, like there's a lot of, you know, English as a second language people. Just be mindful of that, speak slowly, all this stuff. So, okay. She said, "You're gonna go first, is that okay?" I was like, Yeah, it's fine. So I'm going very cold because she doesn't host. She just goes up and goes, "Hello, welcome. Here's Rob Ryan."
Dubai is amazing. If you disagree, I don't like it.
And I was like, you know, I had it in my head. I said, "I've been doing this material. I think this is fine to do." So I kind of did 20-minute version of that. And it was cold and it was the first act. So I was like, this is a little weird, but I don't think it's that weird. Like, I think it's fine. That it went really well. I hit those moments that I knew I needed to hit. I had like my bar for like when the laughter should come and what that should sound like. Now, I will 100% admit that once the other comics went up there and did material that was just a little bit more easy to wash down and swallow for an audience, I could hear, you know, those levels get higher and louder and more consistent where I'm just like, yeah, that's what these kind of jokes would get more than what I just did, which is slightly more like, you know, thinking man and it's kind of up and down and stuff too. And I guess a slightly more warmed up crowd, one could argue too. But anyway, so I'm just kind of like, okay, like I definitely did my job. I definitely did well. These guys were doing well too. You know, if there was a literal applause-o-meter, they were doing better. And then after the show, people came out and it was just like any little like nerves or fears I had got completely washed away because people were coming up to me just being like, that was so amazing. That was so great. I've never seen comedy like that. And it was just, and people were being like, yeah, I mean, the other guys were good too, but it was just like this, you know, you just delivered something that was totally different and I loved it so much. And people were talking with me and sharing stories.
That's
a couple
awesome.
Were admitting like, I thought you were the best. And I was like, well, thank you. It means a lot. I sold like 8 or 9 shot glasses on top of that. I was like, this is great. So then that first night I'm riding super high. I'm like, this is so cool. You know, like I keep on getting re-encouraged to just follow my instincts and do whatever. Like I am working on whatever I think is funny because I'm doing it right. I'm like, this is good. So I was like, that's wonderful. Next day, showing up, feeling good. I am about 2 or 3 minutes from going up on stage. And the woman who runs the show, she was like, hey, tonight when you go up, oh, could you do different material? And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, just, you know, it's just this audience, the dum-dums, you know? And it's like, I just... if you could just do something a little different, you do have any club material. I was like, of course I have different material as well. I was like, I'm going up on stage in like 2 minutes. I was like, I'm not, what do you want me to do? And I eventually talked her down to like, I said, look, I understand that I'm first on this show. I said, I will open up the show and do hosting duties. I'll talk to the crowd and I'll do some dick jokes for you. But after like 5 minutes, I'm going to go into the other stuff. And she was like, that's okay. That's fine, you know, just whatever. You know, it's just that, you know, maybe if this was like Greenwich Village, you know, if this was like New York, but this is, you know. I was like, I don't know what you're saying. But I kind of reminded her too. I was like, look, if you have people literally complain to you, I will do what I can. I said, but I've had people come up to me and say that I was their favorite.
You were my favorite. It was so nice for a comedian to not treat me like I'm a dum-dum. And it just was so different.
I loved you. I felt like I was back in Greenwich Village. Like I was back in New York.
So look, I do go up there and I do. I talk to the crowd for a little bit and I really ham up the dick joke element to it. Like I don't know why, but I went out of my way to make sure that the material that I was doing, that I was forced to do, was just filthy and stupid. Like that was my, I was like, here's your slop, eat it, you fucking pigs.
I've never seen you, Rob, do anything that I thought was below your bar, even if it was clean, even if it was, you know, I'm just imagining you just being like, hey, how's it going, everybody? So we're going to talk about wet pussies. Am I right? Wet pussies? Who loves wet pussies? I mean, I love wet pussies. We love wet pussies. Goddamn. I got to get in there. Anyway, so my mom was an alcoholic.
Okay, I'll concede that it was my version of that, but yeah, it was such a funny feeling because I was so upset that like I just got hit with this and I'm on stage and I'm delivering material and it's like legitimately crushing. Like I'm not trying to brag, but I am actually dying inside. Like I am just like, this is unbelievable. This is fucking absurd that I have to do this. Like I was so fucking pissed. And then like the 5 minutes go by, I got plenty of laughs. I look at her like in the audience and I like give her like a, is that fucking good enough for you?
Oh monkey? My God.
And I was like, oh God. And then I go on to the other stuff. And it was just,
you're like,
hey,
can you give me a 5 minute light when I could stop being a hack?
Oh gosh. Oh, and this was what really bothered me. There was someone who showed up the night before. This is like an aspiring comic on top of that. And then he is gushing over this. His girlfriend's like has gone through similar experiences. So he was like telling me, he's like, dude, I'm like texting my girl after the show. I'm like, you gotta come to this show. Like, I wanted to like record you and like send it to her, but I knew that was fucked up. And I was like, but I'm bringing her, man. I'm bringing her. I was like, that sounds great. Oh. So then the next night I show up and he's there in the audience. And he brought his girlfriend, and I'm just like, penises, right? And he's like looking at me, he's like, what is happening?
You see him. There's a tear going down his eye. Maybe.
I just like the girl being like, why did you think I needed to see this? What was so special about this? I don't know.
That's super funny. The show, and I told him the whole story, and he was like, "Oh yeah," because I thought in the beginning, I was like, "What is he doing? Why is he doing?"
That's really funny.
It sounds like an amazing trip, man.
Yeah, it has been so far, man. Anyway, awesome. I don't want to take up any more time, but
I mean, you're having the biggest adventures. Oh my God, I can't talk today. You're having the biggest adventure of all of us today, so you know. Take as much time as you need, man.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Mm. Well, that's it for now for catch up. Something else.
Okay. What's anything fun from the road, Brett and Leedy?
There's been so much that I just blank. We've had some really fun experiences. I don't know, Leedy, anything on your mind?
But where are you guys right now?
Right now we are in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Ooh.
Something that happened was Brett faced his old enemy, Mobile, Alabama. That was fun.
Yeah, there's a clip of like a 15-20 minute clip from Steve's YouTube where this guy like tried to approach the stage, and I had to physically prevent him from doing that.
Whoa.
And we did a breakdown of it. So, and then the bartender at that venue was antagonizing it. Like, she was like making this drunk, angry guy like more angry and drunk by being like, yeah, he picked on you. And it wasn't true at all. The guy was disrupting the show from the moment Steve got on stage, and she wasn't really listening at all. So, and then he's getting angrier than his friend is going like, oh, you're the bouncer. And I was like, if I have to be. And he's like, oh, we'll just see about that. Like, they're getting all. And so Steve was like, we're going back to Mobile. And I was like, oh, well, I'm sure it won't be the same venue. And he's like, it's the same venue. And I was like, oh my God. He's
well,
like,
I'm sure it won't be the same guy. It's the same guy.
He's like, I was like, well, it's just one show. He's like, it's two shows. I was like, oh, God damn it. But that bartender didn't work there anymore. They made it the venue a lot better. And the shows were really, really fun. Some great nice. People.
No fights.
No fight. There was the last guy that tried to approach the stage. He was a sea captain, and he had just come back and was like, a lot of sea captains, they make a lot of money and they come back and just drink themselves silly. But during the Q&A, somebody said, I'm a sea captain. And I just like ran off stage and
it was
exited
so
the venue.
Funny.
It was a fun time.
It was excellent.
That was during
and then
this
ended up,
Q&A.
He ended up coming in from a different door, so no one was expecting it. And he kind of like snuck up on the audience member who said he was a sea captain. It was great.
Fun. Some fun times. But yeah, there's just been so much fun stuff that I really should have thought about it beforehand. What about you, Jared? What's going on with you?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be with you guys in about a week.
Yeah.
Flying into
I'm so excited.
Oklahoma City, joining the tour, replacing Rivers. No one can replace, of course. They're big shoes to fill. But
oh, Rivers is actually, you're going to be replacing Radu Bundar.
Oh, Radu's there now. Oh,
he's doing the Texas tour because he's in Texas.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
But the big news is that I had this idea for a project where I would put together like a video album that I recorded in my apartment, like a pandemic special. And I basically have been working on this since I got back, and I just finished it today.
Hey,
and
congratulations.
So
that's amazing.
Hopefully, because there's still, I have to send it out to the company that makes the digital download cards, and then they got to send those to me when I'm on the road. So hopefully I'll have those for sale when I'm on the road, but I'm excited about it. It's a little over 30 minutes long. It's a whole bunch of bits that I love.
Will people be able to buy this only physically, or could they buy it online?
If it goes the way that I'm hoping it will go, then you can also buy it off my website.
So do you think that by the time this episode comes out, that people can buy it off of your website?
Potentially. But again, this is the part that's a little bit dark, because Steve does this with his albums, but that's just audio. And he recommended that company to me. I looked it up, and they do not take files the size of a 30-minute video.
Ah.
And so Steve has 7 albums on there, which I thought would be comparable, but it's so much smaller, you know?
I see.
And so I emailed the company and I was like, hey, this file is 2.5 gigs. Is there anything you guys can do for me? And they were like, we can tell you to go away. And does that help? We can't do anything for you. Does that help? And I'm like, no. So I've been doing a lot of Googling, and I hit up the company that I think makes Rob's album cards, because it looks like they have a 2.5 gig option. So I got to find out about that. The price is right. So as soon as I can get all that squared away, I should have those sent out for the next leg of the tour.
Well, whoever's editing this, if Jared's thing is available, put the link in the description. You guys can buy that. If not, coming soon.
All right.
Leedy and I got to a little sneak peek while Jared was putting it together. And there is one part in there that I don't know if it'll be the headline, but the headlining or the closer, but we have been quoting it nonstop since, because it made us laugh so hard.
Oh, that makes me feel so nice.
Yeah.
I think the first time we watched it, we replayed it at least 3 times.
Yeah. Like in a row, like back to back. Yeah. We were like, play it again.
Oh, Brett, can you please just share with them Bane? They might not enjoy it, and we can edit it out, but it just makes me so happy.
So, Leedy and I have been doing a new character in the morning called Frail Bane, and he's just a lot of fun to do, and he's like, you merely adopted the darkness. I was born in it. That's why I'm so tired. Not enough vitamin D. Oh, my bones ache. And then he kept being like, wait, where were you born? And I'm like, I already told you, the darkness. It takes so much out of me to have to explain it twice. Why aren't you listening?
Babe, would you like maybe another round of drinks? It will be my reckoning.
Can somebody help me with this jar of pickles? There are so many superhero origin stories, superhero and supervillain origin stories that are like, if you do this, you will become a weaker and more frail thing. But instead, in the mythos, it's like, no, and then they got superpowers, you know?
It's almost like in comics, they are like, cancer doesn't exist.
But also, yeah, if you were born in a pit and you didn't get natural sunlight, like, you would have your body wouldn't work as good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would be able to beat the shit out of you if you grew up in the darkness. You need vitamin D for things.
Lee and I were watching Titans, and some guy was in the background. He was like kind of roughhousing his girlfriend, and he had this dark beard and hair that's kind of foofed out like he's with Jared. And I went, oh my God, is that Jared? And Lee went, no, he seems like he's walking too well.
I gotta tell you guys, ever since I took Just Eggs out of my diet, I've been feeling so much better. I don't even relate to my old material about how weak and frail I am.
Could you beat up your
girlfriend? So much better. Would you say, Lee? Wow.
I said, could you beat up your girlfriend?
No, Jeff, still no.
Yeah, okay, Kirsten is a tough cookie. Yeah, Jared, it's funny because like, I know all these things going on with you, but when we're on the road together, other than the having to brush your teeth after every meal, I would never, like, there's never like, oh, can you help me lift this? Like, you just seem like, and you look young. It's like, it's all, you internalize all of your horrible misery very well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It is internal.
It's all internal. Well, should we get to business, everybody?
Oh, yes.
You know what? That movie I thought was terrible, but that voice is so funny for everything, you know? God bless him. What's that guy's name?
I still Tom haven't Hardy? Even seen... Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's not worth seeing. Making enemies with Hollywood on episodes of Is This Anything? All right. Our order this week is Brett, Rob, Jarrett.
Hey-o.
Brett, Rob, Jarrett. That is our order this week.
Hey. Okay, let's start it off fantastically. Mind. Sorry. Don't know why.
Success right off the top, Brett.
People will say that they are into rough sex, but there's no real scale for rough sex. Like, there's varying degrees, but nobody really makes that distinction. Like, you don't know what you're going into. So sometimes you'll be with somebody, they'll be like, I'm into rough sex. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I can do a little choking. And then they hold out their knuckles. They're like, tape me up. You're like, uh-oh. I'm in over my head. That's it. That's the whole premise. I just thought the idea of somebody saying, tape me up, and holding out their hands for boxing gloves would be very funny. Is tape me up a universal thing? Like, do people know that?
I think they do. The criticism that I have is that the setup makes me think it's going to be so much worse than that, that it seems like a de-escalation.
I see.
Yeah, actually, that would be my concern as well. Even though I like that it's so different than what is typical of rough sex. So it's not like in the vein of some of the things that you might see. I don't think people just literally punch and box. So I like that. People do know, we should know tape up. Actually, I just am editing an episode, or I was looking through an episode now at least, where we did just that. We were talking about the like the boxing, you know, like we...
Oh, right.
Taped up. I forget what it was.
Maybe if I just got into it, like I have a joke about how I was with a woman who was much more sexually experienced than I was, and I tried to pretend I was on her level, but when we got back to her place, she got into sex swing and I tried to push her.
I remember that.
So it may be I could do it along that, and that's not the only time it's happened. Like, I was with a woman, she said she was into rough sex. I was like, oh, I could do that. And then she held out her knuckles, like, tape me up. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's great as a companion piece. Because, it gets through a lot of that a lot of that setup time.
Mm. Right.
That's great. I do want to live in this world though for a little while. Like, what is rough sex that's rougher than what other people think of, you know? Because everybody thinks of, you know, like whips and chains and things like that. But my brain went to like sandpaper bed sheets, you know? That's rough sex. Very rough.
That's very rough.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's funny.
You have like a 200, a 150, a 100, like with the different sand grains.
Sandpaper.
Yeah, if she's like, I'm into rough sex, and then she pulls out a bottle of sand, a jar of sand or something, you're like, oh.
Ooh, this is intercourse.
Inter very coarse, very nice.
I also want to incorporate broken glass somehow. I don't know.
And you said real life or into this bit?
Into this bit, lady.
Okay, all right, all right.
When you said tape me up, it made me think of Kickboxer, the movie Kickboxer, where they dip their hands in glue and then put fucking broken glass on their knuckles, you know?
Right.
And which made me think of, was it Hot Shots Part 2?
Do they do a bit about that?
Yeah, they parody.
Remember that.
Charlie Sheen sitting there about to box the guy, and like the guy, he puts his, you know, knuckles in the thing, and then Charlie Sheen, he puts his knuckles in caramel, and then there's like jujubes and gummy bears and there's chocolate, like, and the crowd's like, ah, yeah, that one out.
Sprinkles. I gotta rewatch that. A bunch of really goofy movies I want to rewatch. Yeah. So yeah. And a chainsaw. Chainsaw's kind of funny, chainsaw. I think. I don't know how you would use it, you know?
I have thought of two things. I don't know if they're funny or anything. One is that there should be a scale, you know, or a chart maybe, you know, so that you can just kind of like see, like, oh, okay. You know, you could choose like a little menu or something. I'm not sure.
Right. Maybe like somewhere from lip biting to sever my leg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like when you go to like a Thai restaurant, they have the little chili like things. You're like, ooh, five chilies. That's spicy.
How many butt paddles is this?
Five butt paddles? I don't think you're ready for
that. I don't know. I think I can handle that.
That's good. And the other one, I was just trying to think of some kind of play on like dungeon. Like,
are you into rough sex? Yeah, I could do a little rough sex. All right, well then, get in this Iron Maiden.
Where it's like some things look indistinguishable from actual torture, or like what used to be torture. You go to like a slavery museum and your girlfriend's like, ooh, that's not, what are you, what? I don't know. Just please not.
Yeah, that's,
we and then
you're watching a documentary about waterboarding and you're like, ooh, is anybody else?
Yeah, that's a little bit like my my mattress. People were in bondage. Yes, yes, yeah, yes, yes. So that could probably actually link all those together.
Mm. That's another sexy thing, linking all that together.
Yeah.
Good notes. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, quick turn. Next up, we got Rob Ryan.
You know, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. There is a joke idea that I think that I have in my head. How am I gonna put this? I don't have anything good for today. That's what I want to start with. And but there's an idea, and I've been thinking about it. I've been trying to figure it out for the last hour. I was like, I had an idea. I know I did. Like a couple days ago, I was like, oh, this is great. This is what I'm gonna bring to is this anything? And I off of life I cannot remember what that thing is.
Do you want us to help retrace your steps? You know, like
I'm actually might be kind of fun. Okay, so I've got a couple other smaller weird things, I guess. Some are Dubai related. I got out of the plane and it was just way too hot, like so much more than I thought it was going to be. And I said to myself, geez, I thought just the laws were going to be oppressive. Not also the heat. So that was one thing that I was thinking. Okay. This is something. Dr. Pepper was a woman. So,
and so was Mr. Pibb.
Ah.
Gender is a construct, everybody.
Check your privilege. Check it. Yeah, I thought of that the other day.
Medical degrees are a construct.
I really wish that Dr. Pepper joke was the one that you were like, I know I had this great joke that. Oh, there it is. Dr. Pepper was a woman.
Any notes on Dr. Pepper was a woman?
I think that's a super funny, you know, it's a super funny little nugget that needs that, you know, once we build up the structure, I think it'll be good.
Maybe that's why she had to go into making soda, because nobody would take her seriously as a doctor.
She went to medical school, but none of the men would like let her do any doctoring. They'd be like, why don't you get us a soda? Funnily enough, there I met a dude from, I think, wherever Dr. Pepper is from, somewhere in Texas. I met a dude who, I have no idea if this is accurate or not, but this dude was he was an idiot. He worked at my restaurant for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks or something before he was fired for incompetence. But he was obsessed with Dr. Pepper. He would drink it for breakfast, and he gave the same speech to everybody that every time he had a Dr. Pepper, he'd be like, you know, I'm from where they make Dr. Pepper. And, you know, they say it's really good for you. You're supposed to have it 3 times a day. It's really good for you. We go crazy for it down there where it's from, you know. So, yeah, they used to have a clock on there with like, you know, like a little star at like noon, a little star at like 5, a little star at like 8. And you're supposed to have one of those. A Dr. Pepper at every one of the stars. So, you know, wow. You know, I don't know if it's wow. true or not. I just remember thinking, I can't believe this idiot's telling the story again. I can't believe this idiot is so bad at working at restaurants. I have to train this idiot. And I know he's not going to work out. Like, why would they just trust me and fire this kid? So long story short, there may be a real reason why it's called Dr. Pepper. Like maybe the intention was that it was originally medicine or something.
Like a tonic.
Like a tonic or something. Yeah.
I like after you, everyone trains, after you train him for 3 days, he follows you and he's like, okay, any questions? Yes, we serve Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's good. Because people from where I'm from, we go crazy for Dr. Pepper. I have it for breakfast. It's supposed to be good for it. You know, the cane used to have a little clock on it with a little star at the noon and the 3 and 8. Those are the hours you're supposed to have at Dr. Pepper. Yes, we know. We know. He goes over the wine list. All right, here's the wine list. You won't find Dr. Pepper on there, but Dr. Pepper is good for. I'm from where Dr. Pepper. Oh boy, I sure hope he's a fan and he knows what I'm talking about. Recognizes himself. Yeah, I love that idea. I love that they wouldn't let her do medicine, so they had to go get sodas. I also thought that it might be funny to start off the bit by being like, does anybody know who Dr. Pepper was? You know, I mean, whoever she was, she, you know.
Well, that's just it about the structure of this. I feel like there's some strength in it being a non sequitur. Mm-hmm. And then if I really, really wanted to elaborate, I could do so after the fact. But yeah, there's just, you know, I get bored personally. And I'm just like, I just want to do silly, weird things. And I think that fits the bill of being like, yeah, I just say it because it's like all of the charged stuff is already in there. It's already like baked in, you know. When you say it, you already know the tone of voice and you already know the message. And I just skip over all of that, and I get hopefully right to the heart of the thing. Yeah. Which you guys picked up on. Dr. Pepper was a woman, so that's a 5-word joke, and I think it encapsulates the vibe. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, that's something I'd like to do.
Yeah, I mean, it could also work just as a just, you know, a random fucking landmine. You know, that you just toss in your set. I like that idea too.
Yeah. But yeah, the elaboration after the fact, leaving it open for that's great, because then I could just, that's just the way I can introduce the topic.
Yeah, I want another follow up just to kind of keep it going. Some other figure is also, a lot of people didn't know that person was a woman or something else.
Right. Yeah, your follow up with Mr. Pibb was also a woman was great. Just like, I'm not even saying that. Like I'm saying something even more progressive.
Yeah, so what would be even more woke than gender as a construct? What's the Jared? What's the next level of wokeness?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to tell you guys.
Are you guys just still workshopping that in the lab?
No, I just mean you have to get to a certain level of woke before you can hear that, and you guys aren't even close, and you haven't even tried. So like, I'm not gonna stick my neck out for you.
And Mr. Pibb Extra.
I like the idea that you have like woke people under you that you just kick. And you're just
like, yeah, I think maybe something with social class or, you know, the 1% or something, if we can work that into another soda.
Oh, wait. Mountain Dew is bi.
Mountain
I think
Dew
that's
is
a
bi.
Lateral that's move it. From gender as a construct. Mr. Pibb was a woman.
That's lateral that a mountain has. Not only is it sexuality, but it's sexually fluid. I think that's a heightening. I think it's heightening.
All the sodas are fluid. I don't know if you knew that. The Mountain Dew you're drinking. The Mountain Dew you're drinking, it's Brokeback Mountain. Deal with it. You just drank a gay mountain, so deal with it.
Well, how about this?
Oh my god.
And the 1% is Monster. Nope.
I like
sounds that. Like a nope.
Do you know the origin story of Dr. Pepper?
No, I do not.
So there was this guy and his son that got into a really bad car accident, and they both go to the hospital.
Thank you so much.
What about?
And Dr. Pepper comes in and is like, "I can't operate on this man. He's my son."
I love it. That's great.
Diet Coke is fine just the way it is. It should just be called regular Coke.
You don't have to go on a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
They're changing Diet Coke to
Love Your Body Coke.
You're beautiful the way you are, Coca-Cola.
It's like in this 47-ounce can. You're just like, oh, yeah, this is great. No, it looks great. I love it. Don't change a thing. It's just misshapen. You're like, it's good. Body positive Coke. I've got another joke. It's a math joke. It's a math joke. Brett's leaving. Okay. And this is a bit of a deep cut too. Whatever. I'll just say it. Oh, I got an infinity pool. Oh, is that a countable infinity pool or a non-countable infinity pool? That's it.
I don't know what an infinity pool is, and I don't know what countable or non-countable is. So you hit me on zero branches on the way down.
I got all of it. I understood all of it. I just thought it was terrible.
All right, that's my time. Thank you,
Rob
guys
Ryan.
So much.
Great jokes, Rob Ryan. All right. Hey, before we continue this episode, you guys got to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITAPod. The high riding challenges, the sleepover. We just put up the third and final installment of the sleepover where we play a card game and it's hilarious. Story time. We got all sorts of fun tiers and things you can get for being a patron. So come on, be a patron. Patreon.com/ITAPod.
Great job, Jarrett. Now it's time for Jarrett Bernstein.
Yay, that's me. Okay. I got a short one for you guys today. People with children spend all day with their kids. So they see the progress that their kids are making. They get all the references of all the callbacks of the things that their kids. People with kids are like your friends that are already 5 seasons deep into a TV show, and they still want to talk to you about it, even though you haven't started watching it yet. They'll show you pictures like, this is from episode 4 of season 7. And you're like, cool. That's all I got.
Oh, that's great. What a great concept. I love it.
Yeah, it feels a little, I don't know, it feels a little clunky to me. But and also don't have anything around it either. Just, you know, people with kids are annoying. Something like that.
Yeah, maybe we were just watching a show and had somebody interrupting. We were like 2 seasons into it and somebody kept going, who's that? While we were watching it. And I was very, very annoyed by it. Because I'm like, either just Google it or watch it another time. But we're trying to watch. I can't explain to you 2 seasons of these characters' development while I'm currently watching it happen. So I don't know if there's...
I was not being helpful. I was trying to catch him up. I was like...
Lady was also answering the questions fully, where I would have been like, it's one of the characters. So I don't know if you could be that person where you're like, so why is he important?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or like you're like, do they like each other?
They show me a picture of their kid. I'm like, oh, so good guy or bad guy?
That's very funny. Yeah. If you just keep the analogy going of that, it's just like a show going in, then you can do as many of those things as you want. I think it's a very funny contrast.
Mm-hmm.
That concept is great. Just people treat their kids like it's their favorite TV show that you haven't seen. Right. Mm-hmm. And then everything that goes along with that sometimes, and the analogy doesn't quite fit, but you know, new parents sometimes are exhausted and new parents sometimes are just like overwhelmed. And it is kind of like when they start a TV show and they're like, you got to get past season one. Like season one's not good. It's just, it picks up. I promise.
That's excellent. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Sure. Because really, this whole show is just shitting and crying.
I thought so too. It does get better.
This is probably a little bit dark, but if somebody's kid dies and you don't know, then you ask about their kid. It's kind of like, they're like, oh, that actually got canceled. You're like, oh.
Their kid dies and they're letting you know. And you're like, oh, spoiler alert. Jesus.
Oh, that's funny. If they're telling you about what's currently going on and you stop them, you're like, no, I haven't watched the first three seasons yet.
I'm not caught
up. I'm still on season three.
It steps on the concept of the joke a little bit, some of these ideas, but I like them all. what does make me laugh the most is the idea that you are just so disinterested because you know nothing about the show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much they try to tell you about the show. You're just like, I haven't seen it. Doesn't matter. Oh, and then you're just like, I don't care. I don't know any of the characters. I don't know any of the storylines.
The same way that someone would be like, this, it's messed up that he's at the restaurant because they used to date. It's like he didn't used to be able to pick up blue blocks before.
Maybe they're showing you a video and you're like, and they're like, oh, I forgot to tell you, he really wants juice. You have to know that before you watch it.
That's great. That's really funny.
There was one time that I was like hanging out with this girl and something reminded me of like season one of Dexter. So I was like, oh, that's funny. It kind of reminds me of, you know, this show Dexter. And she's like, what happened? I was like, oh, it doesn't, well, and then I just kind of very cursory just give her like up to that point. I say, well, this happened, he's a serial killer and whatever, and da da da, and then that happens, and then there's also this guy, Sergeant Doakes, and he's coming after him, and so then he winds up, you know, doing this thing where he tricks him and he does this thing, and he actually winds up killing Sergeant Doakes, and that's what winds up happening there. So that was basically it. And she's like, and then what happened?
That's awesome.
And I was like, okay, season two opens up, and now we're getting to know his sister more. She's like so thrilled. I'm like, are you kidding?
That's amazing.
So this woman is either so enthralled by just your retelling of a TV show. She goes home and she tries to watch Dexter and she's like, it's so much worse than when he was just saying, and she just like wants to call you all the time. And she'd be like, what movies have you seen? Tell me about them. Tell me what happens in them.
Well, actually, that's probably accurate because from what it sounds like, you just described up to like the end of season two, which is the best two seasons of Dexter. Like it does, it never kind of lives up. Once Doakes is killed, you're kind of like, the show's just not as good. Is very funny. Leedy has.
Or she's having so little fun on this date that she just wants you to just, I'm so bored. Just tell me about more TV shows.
What about this? Does this remind you of anything? Movie or something?
She's so spaced out. She just like thinks I'm just talking.
Naming things that she hasn't seen. You know, I haven't seen The English Patient. Do you want to tell me about that? I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Brett. What were you going to say?
Oh, it's kind of unrelated, but Lee has been very generous in embracing a inside joke that I have had with myself from a very small, specific portion of Rush Hour 2 outtakes. I still not shown her the clip, but there's one point where a guy falls out the window and Chris Tucker goes, oh, he ain't gonna be in Rush Hour 3. And I say that to myself all the time in movies when somebody dies, just in my head. And Leedy and I have been watching a couple shows, and so I do that all the time. And she has just totally embraced it and enjoys it as much as me. And it's great. She still hasn't even seen
it. Started using it myself.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I make a lot of references that you don't understand through inside jokes. It's fantastic.
One of Kirsten's friends had not seen any of the Fast and the Furious movies. So we've been doing this like Sunday night party where we watch all the Fast and Furious movies, and similar to like watching somebody die and being like, oh, they're not going to be in Rush Hour 3. The cavalier attitude that the people in the Fast and Furious movies have towards the murders that they do, you know, where they just like, there's like an entire battalion of police chasing them in like 10 cars and they manage to like crush all 10 cars with like a, you know, with a wrecking ball in the most violent way, where you're just like, every one of those cops is pulverized now. And Ludacris just like, strike. You just killed so many people.
But they were all bastards. So
now we're watching the show. It's just like dead, dead, mutilated, destroyed, pulverized.
Not going to be in Fast and Furious 10.
That's right.
I've been doing occasionally my ACAB joke, and it is funny. Sometimes I'll say, I just found out that ACAB, A-C-A-B, that stands for All Cops Are Bastards. And sometimes people in the audience will go, yes. Before I can even get to the actual joke, this is so funny to me.
All right, anything else for this bit, guys? Feels like we kind of skinned all the meat off the bone. So
did we? I forget.
I don't think you skin meat. You just take the skin off the meat. You don't skin the meat off the bone.
I think you can skin anything. I think skinning is like just taking like a thin layer off of something. So even if the skin has been removed, I think you can skin like muscle. Skinning is like,
I think skin taking is the outer layer. It has to be an outer layer for a while. It has to have been, you know, oxygenated. It has to like, that makes it skin.
Rob,
once you take the skin off.
Well, because it's called skinning, I do think that it's taking the skin off and leaving everything else.
I'm going to acquiesce. Usually I would stick to my guns for fun, but I just sincerely believe that I am so wrong here.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just going to dip. Unless, Leedy, you want to get my back or...
Pakistan.
Nope. Leedy's not Oh, Rob, you fly home on Saturday, so when are you going to start pocking?
Saturday morning, probably.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, cool. Thanks so much for the notes and the feedback. Well, without further ado, it's time for Leedy to show us her drawings. We will laugh at her drawings. She's going to show us what she did with her pencil and screen. She will show us what she did with a pencil and screen.
One thing I wanted to... sandwich in my fridge.
I wanted to say that there's a fun catch-up thing is that Leedy has been like, you know, she's now getting used to her segment on the show, and she asked for feedback from us, and we all kind of gave her some feedback. Like, I think you can get more into the lines, you know, when you're doing dialogue from one of the jokes and you're presenting it because you're, you know, a good performer and stuff like that. And there was just like 5 or 6 different suggestions. And that night, she incorporated all of them and she killed. It was awesome.
Nice.
Wow. Well, I sold maybe 2 prints. So that's,
it was also our lowest turnout for a show in,
Thank you very much. I'm having a great time.
So does that mean you did not like the notes, Leedy? What's going on? You're like, I sold not prints. I'm having a great time. Everything's good.
I just think it's funny that we can have wonderful nights where they just love us, but then no one's in line for merch, and we're just like, good night.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you continue a comedy life outside of Steve Hofstetter specifically, that's most of comedy. People are not willing to give you money like that.
Rivers was saying that because we're so spoiled in a bunch of ways, but doing the Steve tour. So one, he goes up first, so you're not going up cold. And two, he also mentions your merch multiple times. He brings you back on after doing his hour for the Q&A so they remember you and then remember how funny you are. And... Rivers is like, I will do 15 minutes on these shows and sell, you know, $400 worth of shirts. And then I sold out a theater at home to tape my special. I sold 5 shirts.
Right.
600 people came out to see me specifically. 5 shirts.
It's crazy. Anyway.
All right.
Okay, so let's do it.
She will show us what she did with the pretzel and cream.
All right. First up, I have your guys' version of geography.
The Middle East.
It's all that.
Did you draw that map yourself, or is that something else?
Oftentimes I'll save a picture, so the picture will be half of my screen, and then my drawing will be this half. So I just use this as a reference. That's it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's very nice. So it's a nifty way.
I guess I got confused. What does that mean? You had this saved already?
She drew this, but she brought up a reference photo.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so you just use one for reference. Yeah.
So you trace it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no. tracing it would be.
I know.
Putting
I know.
One over the, oh, okay.
Nice anyways, then I have just to buy it. To buy it. Don't call dead eyes.
Hello there. I feel like I'm Ewan McGregor.
Then I have send them.
How angry you are.
Then I have, is this sexy? and then I think this is last but not least. What pussies am I riding? Oh, wait, no, that wasn't the last one. I have another one, I guess. Hold on just a sec. I fucking hate this list. That's it.
Excellent.
Great.
Yay.
Beautiful job. Couple notes. right into it.
Patreon.com/LadyCorbin. Give her some support. Check her out. She's on tour. You can go to SteveHofstadter.com to find out when she'll be on tour because she's on all of his tour dates. Great episode, guys.
Woo! Great episode to you.
All right. Do you guys want to put thoughts?
Trico's here.
Thanks so much for watching. Check back every Monday for new episodes, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends how much you like Is This Anything? Or get involved. Like an episode, share, comment, subscribe. If you want more Is This Anything, you got to join our Patreon at patreon.com/ITAPod. We have a ton of awesome exclusive content on there, and you can join for as little as a dollar a month. Check out the links in the description, and hopefully we'll see you next week.